Welcome to the Modern Marketing Podcast, where we discuss all things related to modern marketing techniques, including lean, agile, design thinking, and customer centricity. This podcast is by the Agile Marketing Alliance so that we can learn, share, and grow together. I'm Melissa Reed, and Jim Ewell and I will be your host for today's episode. Today, we're speaking with Sylvia Roche, Marketing Director at Saba. Sylvia discovered Agile in 2016 and has applied it to the marketing team with great success to assure ongoing customer centricity and alignment. Welcome to the show, Sylvia.
Thank you. Excited to be here with you.
Hi, Sylvia. Great to have you here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Saba as well as your role within the organization?
Yes, thank you, Melissa. So it's okay if you do not know Saba, if you don't recognize my company's name, because we are actually an industrial operator in urban mobility specializing in managing car parks. And not many of us really have a conscious parking experience, you know, but we are one of the largest car parking operators in Europe, and we run our business in 9 countries, more than 200 cities. That means more than 950 locations, actually, and more than 330,000 parking spots. And my job in this company is the marketing director. That means that I really have a functional responsibility on a global level. I'm in charge of understanding, optimizing, monitoring online and offline customer experience. And I'm also in charge of our e-commerce on an international scale.
Sylvia, I understand that when you got started with Agile, Saba was going from an infrastructure management company to a mobility company. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Sure, I'd love to. This is actually super logical because I just mentioned that maybe we are not usually aware that we are having a parking experience, right? So in our industry, our service offering is a commodity. Nobody sets out to park, you know? You go to the movies or you visit somebody or you live somewhere or you work somewhere and then you have to park. It's not even a great thing to do. It's just something that you have to do to take care of your car, right? So in our industry, active top line management and active revenue generation was not even possible, not necessary. So it's absolutely logical that all our industry had this infrastructure mindset, you know? Very CapEx and OpEx oriented, very finance oriented. But what happened? We had the big crisis like 12 years ago. Things started to shift. Consumers started to be really conscious of all kinds of expenses. And then our awareness of climate change started to really become a very serious concern for most of us. We had this amazing technological disruption, which has changed our work and our lives forever. I mean, when was the iPhone invented? 2007. So since 2007, you know, everything has changed. And once you started with digital, I mean, so many things became possible that were unthinkable before. So this is also when our whole industry, a very traditional industry, all of a sudden we found ourselves in an ecosystem. The mobility ecosystem.
So when you say a mobility ecosystem, are you referring to a mobile phone or does it go beyond that?
No, I was not referring to a mobile phone. This is mobility, like in the sense of we are moving people's mobility. It means today we're talking about a frictionless mobility journey. You want to travel in the cities, interchanging between modes of transportation. You want to be able to use public transportation, then a scooter sharing, then you want to continue your journey on foot. Maybe you have a car in the car park and the whole thing is like a frictionless interconnected journey. And I was really referring to this whole mobility ecosystem. An ecosystem being a space where companies collaborate across their boundaries because they're trying to solve common problems of their common clients. It's not so easy, but today it's all about being open and collaborating and about having the customer in the center, figuring out what their needs are and find solutions for the common problems that the customers have.
Thanks for sharing that. That really helps add a lot of context. So how did Agile fit into this journey? How did you come across Agile as a potential solution?
I was offered the job of being the marketing director of this car parking unit of our company. And one of the first tasks that I was able to tackle was the creation of our e-commerce. We ended up creating one of the very first e-commerce in the parking industry, at least in Spain. You know, it was something we could not copy anywhere. We couldn't simply surf the web and find a nice, beautiful web and take the best ideas. There was nothing there. So I started to build a small, dynamic digital team. And we were building this amazing state-of-the-art digital front end. We were very excited. And rather sooner than later, we realized that our beautiful digital front end would actually have to integrate with our back end, which was sort of legacy, like so many IT systems in so many companies. In order to make this beautiful digital front end come to life and be really efficient, we needed to adjust so many processes, because none of our processes were digitally optimized. They were offline processes. All of a sudden, we had, without wanting it, you know, without meaning to do so, we were kickstarting this major transformation. And the e-commerce was not a huge driver of revenue at that time. It was like a new project, something additional. And we were causing so much trouble. So I realized that we would really need to be a strong team to work together in an efficient a way as possible. And then one of my new team members who had come with us to help me kickstart this project, he suggested one day that we should work in Agile. I honestly had never heard about Agile. I didn't know what it was. I trusted that person a lot. I read up a little bit on Agile and I understood it would help the team to become autonomous, purpose-driven, work on based on empiric data, on empiric experiments, start with an MVP, with a small solution, keep iterating that, and be above all super customer-centric. So I thought it would be worth a try. That's how we started working in Agile in a marketing department in a car parking management company back in 2016.
Sylvia, this is really fascinating. And I'm really interested in how you did your digital transformation. You had a challenge of doing your digital transformation with older systems. Your bank, you mentioned your bank was an older system. You had the transformation to do with non-digital systems. You've got attendance in the car parks and stuff like that. Tell me about the challenges that you faced with this digital transformation, and what other functions and areas of the company did you have to interact with to make all this work?
Our story really was a triple transformation, I would say. It started with our team itself when my new digital marketing manager came on board. He was like, gosh, I've never had such a non-digital team. And I said, yeah, start with me, with your manager. And we all transformed. 2 years later, we had all done master degrees, following blogs, discovering a lot of things, learning a lot on the job. And I'm not the only person really interested in Agile. I've got one of my team members who is part of the Agile Consortium in Spain. So it's been a wonderful transformation of the whole team, okay? And then we obviously were not able to go this alone. We needed to collaborate with all our other functional colleagues. And we had to make sure that we found a way to do this together. Most important was obviously IT, technology. And IT had a major job to taking this legacy infrastructure from the 20th century in the cloud. And they did a really great job. Our persons and organization department has done lots of things. Obviously, after COVID hit, everybody was forced to do many things. And customer experience has really become a major priority for the whole company, and optimizing it through our e-commerce is something that is really important for all of us. So when
can I just ask a drill down question on this? So you're operating in an agile fashion, and I assume that some of these departments, finance, legal, whatever, are not operating in an agile fashion.
Yeah.
Was that a challenge for you? And what did you do and how did you overcome that?
I love this question because it's so true. Now, when I talk to people, I feel like the odd one out. You know, I'm not an agile professional, like having to convince anybody to work on agile. I'm a marketing director and I chose to work in agile. And when we did this, we had no external help or assistance. I mean, there was not an, it was not a corporate project and there was no army of agile coaches to help us go agile. We did this with really great conviction and a crash course that was provided by a friend of our digital marketing manager. And you know that agile takes a lot of discipline if you want it to work, because you really have to develop habits and you have to change habits, which is very hard for all of us. And there's a number of rituals that helps you with it, but you really have to believe in it until you see the value. At first, it was very tough because it felt like we were adding more work for everybody. We had to write our stories and really think about what we would do. And then we had to prioritize. And it was a totally different way of doing things. And it was difficult. But we were so convinced and it felt so good. And we so quickly saw the benefits for the team as they gained in autonomy. And as we were like starting to be able to deliver, it felt so good that we just kept being convinced. But it's true, we were like an agile island. And that's not really possible, okay? Because we cannot force our agile on anybody else. So what we did, we really kept it up in the marketing team. It worked for us. Then we included our partners, like all our marketing, digital marketing service providers, you know, they had a similar mindset. So they gladly worked with us in Agile, in the same system. And then we also extended it to our colleagues in other countries. I told you I've got an international responsibility. So our colleagues in Chile and in Portugal and in Italy, we started to work on Agile with them, which is a bit more difficult because they don't do it. They only do it with us. They don't do it among themselves. And so for the longest time, it felt a little bit like an undercover operation, which was something weird. People would notice it because they would see us standing up around the desks in the morning for like 15, 20 minutes and talking. But it was okay. We even started like educating some of our colleagues when they would ask us for something to, everybody wants things to get done super urgently. And we have our sprints and we have our priorities. So we have only so much time, so much resource that we can dedicate to different tasks. So we started saying, look, how urgent is this really? Because we work in sprints and we start a new sprint in like 10 days. So is it possible that I can include it in my next sprint? First, some people thought it was weird, but I think it got more and more respected. And they also noticed that the marketing team was quite a happy team. I performed well, delivered. So I think it's seen as a positive.
So Sylvia, you've painted a great picture. You've got this customer need to have a frictionless experience. You've got the Saba parking group who it has a dated infrastructure. You've got digital transformation happening. Can you talk about the customer? What were you doing that allowed you to become more customer centric in order to better meet the needs that you outlined?
I mentioned that one of the major goals is to guarantee an optimum customer experience. And there's no digital without the customer. So it's supernatural. And Agile for me is the perfect fit because with its radical focus on the value that you are trying to create and that the team has committed to deliver, you are constantly reminded of the customer and that you have to create and deliver something that makes sense to the customer, not to you or not to your team or not to your company. And often, more often than not, you start with an MVP. It's the only way you can get started because resources are always limited. You usually have to get approval for resources, for developers doing things for you. The time you spend on it, it's always limited. So you have to make sure that the things that you do are really necessary and that they really make a difference. So we started with very small MVPs and then tested like crazy the results, made sure we came up with some understandable and credible KPI. And there was stuff that worked and there was stuff that did not work. one of the early decisions that we were able to take. That's a very concrete example, but it was really helpful. Our car parks, we manage in Spain all the car parks that are associated to the high-speed railway, and it's a very captive market. So there you have a lot of parking happening and people who then travel for a number of days. And for our e-commerce, we were only to do one specific offering, which was that we were able to offer tickets for several days, for long stays. We were not able to offer what people really want to do when they park. You know, when they want to park for a couple of minutes, half an hour or 3 hours, and then leave the car park. We were not able to do that. My MVP was these long stay tickets, but they were perfect for our train stations. And it was a last minute decision to include our high speed railway car parks into our MVP of the e-commerce. And that was brilliant because then we could really track what happened, transactions, average order value, and so on. And that's how we made it work.
Well, Sylvia, last year you received the Agile Business Award for Agile Marketing from the Agile Business Consortium. So congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great moment.
It was great. So what has changed since you received that award? Has anything changed in terms of your team or what's happening?
For me, it was really important. It was a really big deal for me because, as I mentioned, I've always felt like the odd one out. And sometimes it felt like a strange thing that I was doing. And then being part of the Agile Awards and of this Agile community, it felt really great to be part of this cool community and to be a finalist with great companies like NatWest and Save the Children. And all my colleagues, my bosses and the team, they were all also really happy for me and proud. So after the Agile Business Awards, we were also able to explain our Agile approach in our company. For example, our people and organization department, they are driving change. They are driving culture change in our company. So they really appreciate initiatives of this kind. And we went over the whole thing with our HR director. And she has used our example in several occasions as a best practice and been very supportive of this. And also as a marketing team, we've evolved. Some team members have left, new team members have come on board, and we have revisited our approach to Agile. I mean, even our Agile is a continuous iteration. It has to work well for the team. For example, we introduced the use of epics, and we changed the Agile software that we are working with as the team changed. One of my priorities right now is to make it really work for the international team because I feel that they're a little bit too far away and I have a big challenge for 2024 in that sense. So there's always new stuff happening and going on.
That's great. So you have been on this journey for quite a while. You've learned a lot of lessons, I'm sure. What guidance do you have for somebody who's interested in starting to implement Agile practice?
So the first idea would be, as I said, I think it takes a lot of discipline to achieve this change of habits that's necessary. So it's probably a good idea if you have somebody to help you with that. I mean, there's great Agile coaches, there's great companies who know how to help you. And I think it's a good idea. When I look back upon our journey, I'm actually really quite impressed how we mustered the motivation and discipline to make it happen. So that's one thing. And the other thing, sometimes if you do your sprints, it's easy to get caught up in a short-term approach. But it's really important that you do not forget the goals towards which you're working, because Agile works best if it's really purpose-led and purpose-driven. So once a year, we do like a big room planning session, defining our goals. And then we make it a point of revisiting this every 4 months. Okay. And that's super helpful. For me, Agile is really, it's all about the team. If it works and you create this wonderful atmosphere based on the Scrum values, in our case, we work in Scrum. So like respect, openness, courage, commitment, and focus. Based on the Scrum pillars of transparency, of ongoing inspection, of ongoing adaptation, it's really magic because the team just turns into an autonomous team, and the team as a whole is so much better and knows so much more than any individual leader. So it's really important to keep this up. And I think the retrospectives are very valuable for this. Sometimes even if it's a very small idea can increase the way you work a lot and make it just feel much more comfortable and better for everybody. So those are my suggestions.
Well, thank you, Sylvia, for sharing your stories with us. I think we all learned a lot from your journey, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here with you. One of the really great things also that I've discovered after the awards was this international Agile community, of which the two of you are very well respected and great members. So it's been a pleasure for me to also meet you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for listening to our show today. Check out the show notes for this episode at agilemarketingalliance.com/podcast.